UFOs? Are they aliens? Government secret projects? The imaginings of disturbed individuals? Or just outright hoaxes? We're here to find out. Welcome to Jim Harold's UFO Encounters. Welcome to UFO Encounters. I'm Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you today. Now, the topic today includes the topic of UFOs, but it does extend a bit beyond it. We're going to be talking about something a lot of people have asked me about, and I don't think in 9 years of doing the various programs that we've ever done a show solely dedicated to it. We've touched on it, but we've not really focused on it. So we have the right man on the line to do that. We're talking about the Skinwalker Ranch in Utah, a place of much mystery. People like George Knapp and so forth have investigated it. And we have one of the foremost researchers on the topic with us today, Ryan Skinner. He is the co-author of the recent book, just out this month, I believe, Skinwalker Ranch, No Trespassing. Now, Ryan began his research into phenomena at Skinwalker Ranch in 2008, and since the events chronicled in this book, he's returned numerous times each year, and that's referring to his first book, to this area to conduct field investigations. Now, while there, he spends several weeks in his specially equipped RV camping alone in the desert, trying to find answers to whatever lurks in the mesas and valleys of Skinwalker Ranch. In September 2009, he created the web domain skinwalkerranch.org and skinwalkerranch.com, paranormal websites which promote discussions on Skinwalker Ranch-related topics. The website and Ryan challenge visitors to think outside of the modern-day paradigm regarding the possibility of alien life as it relates to human consciousness and multiple dimensions. He also is a private pilot, and he uses those skills to survey other unexplored hotspots, I guess, throughout the world. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today. I certainly appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So how did you get involved with the Skinwalker Ranch? What made you turn your telescope to it, as it were?
Well, I'd read Hunt for the Skinwalker by George Knapp and Colm Kelleher. Kind of always enthralled by the stories contained in that book, and really one of my favorite books to entice the imagination. And I just couldn't believe all the unique items that were going on at the ranch. But moving forward, I live in Wisconsin, and I had taken a road trip to Las Vegas to marry my then fiance. And late one night, as we're traveling through Utah, we were on a desolate road, which happened to be roughly about 40 miles directly south of the ranch. And we had what I consider to this day to be a close encounter at that time. A red ball of light began following our car. We pulled over on the side of the road trying to figure out what this light was behind us. As I got out, the rational mind always tries to rationalize everything as sure. Being, there's got to be a mundane explanation for whatever I'm seeing. At that point, despite having read the book and numerous other, I've always been fascinated by the UFO topic in question in general. But I stepped out of the car, trying to look for whatever bizarre reflection or mirage was being created here. And lo and behold, there really was what appeared to be almost a torch or a burning sparkler, red burning sparkler behind my car. And I guess the gravity of the situation just mortified me. Suddenly, my fiance at that point screamed, said she saw three shadow-like entities walking towards the car, and I jumped in the driver's seat and sped off. Not the most cavalier reaction, I guess, in retrospect, but which she brought to my attention. It's just kind of a long story, and it's chronicled in my first book, but we returned to the same place. The light was dancing around in the field. Did approach the car again, and much to my surprise, it's much more than a light. These are some sort of vessels that these entities travel in, and the light then took the shape of one out of three of these, I don't know, typical beast creatures were these gray-looking type aliens. They were translucent. They appeared to be wearing some sort of a diver kind of outfit with tubes, I guess, connected. You could see right through them, but you could still see their outline, kind of like that Predator outline in the movie Predator. Again, I lost my cool and took off at that point as well. But that leads into my my fascination with Skinwalker was this really was my first close encounter ever with anything related to UFOs or aliens. I always read about this topic in books. I had some mysterious encounters prior to this in college and just possibly things that led up to this point. But the pieces of the puzzle all kind of came together when I realized our location was exactly dead south of the ranch in this book I had recently read, which spurned my interest into what is the connection. And I mean, there's something real happening here.
Now, for those who maybe aren't familiar, can you give us kind of a brief rundown? I know we could talk for hours about the history of the Skinwalker Ranch, but just some basics. Where is it located? I know it's in Utah. What's the area like? And how did it kind of, I know you mentioned the George Knapp book. Why did it come to prominence? What kind of events led to people to say, hey, this is a place to see there's something strange going on here?
I don't have all my notes in front of me, so forgive me if some of my dates are incorrect.
Or that's fine.
I'm not including all the information. I really like to have that handy. I just don't. So I'm going to bring this, pull it from memory here. This is the ranch is located in Fort Duchesne. Fort Duchesne is in between Roosevelt, Utah, and Vernal, Utah. Vernal's a pretty large city. These are in the eastern side of Utah. It's considered the Uinta Basin. Basin because it's surrounded by, I guess what makes it a little unique is kind of like a bowl surrounded by all these mountains on all sides. The entire basin itself reports activity, so it's not just the ranch. The ranch just happens almost to be a nexus of where everything seems to be spilling out of, or at least a hot spot within those haunted grounds, I guess. So that's the location. The town of Fort Duchesne itself is on a Native American reservation, which is inhabited by the Ute tribe. It's got a very, I can't remember the exact population, but it's pretty small. It's a very desolate piece of land, arid. The topography is desert with mesas and a lot of rock structures out there. The the history of the ranch goes back quite a ways, I believe. The first inhabitants were the Myers. I really feel better referencing my notes, but I thought it was in the 40s. The Myers bought the property.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book written by Frank Salisbury, which makes the claim that they did not have a lot of activity or any whatsoever. From my interviews with neighbors and, one thing I can't do in this interview, by the way, is go into specific details of who I've talked to, just because I'm trying to protect the sources.
No, absolutely. That's standard operating procedure. We totally understand that. You have to protect your sources.
Okay, because I recently did an interview, and some people question why I couldn't be more forthright with it.
No, we've done these for a long time. I understand journalistic integrity and having to protect your sources.
Exactly. Thank you. Several neighbors that I spoke with actually worked on the ranch when the Myers owned it. This is before the Shermans. The Shermans are the property owners who are mentioned in Hunt for the Skinwalker, the original book on the Skinwalker Ranch. But this property owners prior, they had locks on all their doors, on the insides of the doors, the insides of the doors. They would have a closet, and there'd be a lock inside the closet. Supposedly these locks were because all these doors and cabinets would start flying open and opening and closing on their own, kind of poltergeist-like activity. And the family themselves, and this is according to the neighbors, the Myers no longer reside on the property, and I believe most of them have passed on, but the family themselves would kind of huddle in the living room as these golf ball-sized lights would whiz through the house and kind of terrify all the family members and whatnot. And this, again, was John Garcia is one of the neighbors, and there's another Myers that lives down the street who will also confirm this when he was a ranch man on the property. So even back at that time, it has a long history. And prior to that, the Utes make the claim that the land itself is, I've been unable to substantiate this. This is from the Hunt for the Skinwalker book and from other sources, newspaper sources I found, that the Utes claim that land is, of no trespassing land. it's off limits to the tribe. It's haunted grounds that that they're not allowed to be on, especially after dark.
So the belief is not that this is something that just happened in the last 50 years, and but this is something that goes back maybe thousands of years, that the land may actually in some way be cursed.
That's my personal belief. My latest book, I'm really trying not to speculate on too many things, but I mean, if you were to ask me point blank, absolutely. This goes back far before the previous Sherman ranch owners or NID's involvement, which we'll get to in a moment, and Bigelow's involvement. And I say that because there's several structures on and around the ranch that appear to be ancient Pueblo and the basket makers, Anastasi origin. These kind of ruins on the property, what appears to me to be ruins that surround the property. So there must have been some sort of predated Native American involvement in that area. And I mean, does that necessarily mean paranormal? No, but
well,
there seems to be a rich history to the property.
The thing that interests me about this, you hear a lot of places where you'll have one thing or the other. You know, you'll have a place that has a lot of poltergeist activity. And that's why I kind of had a hard time categorizing what show to put this on, because this has it has a little bit of everything.
It doesn't fit into any category. It reports, it reports absolutely. Poltergeist, ghost-like activity is extremely common on the ranch. Alien activity is common. I mean, there's been lizard-like sightings of lizard people. There's been Bigfoot sightings on the ranch. It goes through the whole cryptozoological catalog of, I mean, you almost name an event, and it's or an entity, and it almost has appeared on the ranch, which to skeptics really raises some eyebrows. However, if all these bizarre unnamed creatures and events, you know, we're unable to categorize any of these things. I mean, they may all be spilling from the same source, some sort of rift or portal that they're coming out of, and all of them, this collaboration of entities may be coming not from the ranch necessarily, but from some sort of portal that's purported to be on the ranch.
And that was something I was going to ask you, because I made this comment on the programs before. When I, you know, I've been interested in this stuff since I was a kid, but up until the time I started talking to people on these programs, I thought, okay, you got your UFO silo over here, and all the UFO stuff is contained in here.
Right.
And then you've got ghosts over here, and then you've got Bigfoot and cryptids over here. And all the stuff it's not really connected. It's just different weird stuff that's happening. But over time, I've talked to people like Brad Steiger and people like that who have started to form an opinion. I don't want to misquote him, but we did talk about it. That maybe paranormal activity in general, if you put, for example, cryptids in that, and if you put UFOs into paranormal activity, but these strange kind of Fortiana things, they're somehow connected. And I would think that the Skinwalker Ranch would be exhibit A for that, because you have all these same things happening in the same place.
I completely agree. I mean, if there's multiple dimensions out there, and these entities may reside in these higher dimensions, and we have some sort of a rift between our dimension and these higher planes. To me, rather than it not making sense, we have all these unique and different characters involved. I think that unites them all in some sense, and it would almost explain all the curiosities that go along with the paranormal field.
Now, let me ask you this. You've studied this. I mean, is it your opinion that this is real? I mean, have you said for yourself, you know, not saying that you believe every report, but do you really think something's going on there?
I like your word of that. I try to be open-minded, try to keep an open mind, but not keep my mind so open that my brains fall out.
That's one of my favorite sayings.
Yeah. So I've always considered myself to be a skeptic, even though, I mean, there are other people that kind of research the ranch, and, you know, people just jump to the wildest conclusions and explanations for everything they see out there. And I try to keep a grounded, rational mind and really just believe not even believe necessarily what my eyes see, but it's really got to have some impact if I have an experience out there. I'm completely convinced it's real. And I guess that's where I've built my obsession and why I keep returning to the ranch and doing further research out there and really bypassing all these other supposed hotspots and stories is whatever's going on out there is reproducible. And what really gives this some legs over some of these other cases and stories is this isn't something that occurred in the past. It's occurring right now. I mean, you could go out there and have a probability of having an encounter if you're at the right place and really kind of immersing yourself in that environment long enough, you will experience something. And so much so, it's not just me saying it. We have a billionaire who also backs up what I'm saying by hiring a team of researchers and scientists and investigators who are still spending time out there documenting the events.
And
that's why it's cordoned off. I mean, this is not open to the public. It's research being conducted by this private company, Bigelow Aerospace, which is, from my inside sources and from what I've uncovered, also that's being contracted with the Department of Defense, who is kind of the silent partner in all of this.
That's interesting. That's interesting that there, because if you know, one thing you might think, well, maybe it's some kind of governmental project, but if you think if it really does go back thousands of years, that doesn't make sense. So is it something that possibly the government's trying to investigate, reverse engineer? If it's a portal to other dimensions, are they somehow trying to exploit that? And I don't necessarily mean in a bad way, but are they trying to take advantage of it?
You bring up a good point. That's the big debate. That's the big debate I constantly get myself caught up into. And always the wrong decision is to commit yourself to one explanation on something that's almost unexplainable. And I've learned whatever's going out there could have so many different explanations. I can't commit myself just to one. I got to keep that up in mind. But I guess at the moment, I just don't agree with it. Some people contend this is just one big government experiment, that this is a piece of land. I mean, a large percent of Utah, the landmass out there, is owned by the government. We have Dugway, which is considered Area 52, the new Area 51, to the west, and Hills Air Force Base. There's all sorts of military testing that is going on in Utah and secretive black ops kind of programs. Is the ranch just one of these deeper black ops programs that's been going on for some time, since the 40s at least? And I say no, but...
Now, what are some of your favorite, a couple of your favorite stories? It could be things that you've experienced directly or things that you've researched. What are a couple of the stories that stand out around the Skinwalker Ranch?
Would you like other people's stories or would you like my stories?
Either. Whatever you feel compelled to share.
I'm going to what's happened to me. My first encounter out there, my first night on the property, we had set up camp. The sun had just gone down, and there's these power lines in the distance. Suddenly, the power lines became electrified. They started glowing. The lines themselves, and this might be a completely natural, mechanical either malfunction or completely normal event. But they started chattering, making all sorts of noise. All the lines themselves were glowing, and then they shut off. And after they shut off, we could hear these, what happened immediately after that is there's a trickster nature to whatever's going on out there. And I never understood that until you experience it. It's almost as if this is a precognitive intelligence that's inside your mind, knows what you're thinking and what your fears are, and it almost plays through those fears in a trickster-like nature. Our fears were we were concerned we were trespassing and that we were going to get arrested. Lo and behold, over a nearby mesa or hill right above our camp site, red, white, and blue lights start flashing. And this, we are miles into the desert in very rough terrain that you need a 4x4 vehicle to get to this location. So how a police car or off-road police vehicle got out there so quietly and silently, I mean, really kind of surprised us. And without using lights or anything to navigate to that nearby hill point really confused me as well. So these lights are going off. We're kind of, we realize, oh my God, I'm in Utah. I don't even live here. Now I'm going to get arrested. What's going to happen next? Am I going to jail? Suddenly the lights, we also hear what sounds like a bullhorn or a robotic voice, but it's speaking a language. It's not speaking English. It starts barking out commands.
Wow.
And this, again, is speculative on my part. I mean, to me, it sounded like a native dialect, but it was definitely communicating. It was communicating something, but it sounded like a robot, not a human through a bullhorn, but a robot through a bullhorn communicating some sort of message and directions that, I mean, we were looking at each other like, are we supposed to be on the ground? You know, are we in trouble, or what are we supposed to do with what we're being told here? And just absolutely confused. Suddenly the lights turn off, the voice stops, barking commands, and we don't know what to do next. A few minutes pass, I think 10 minutes pass. We're now waiting for flashlights or to be arrested, and nobody approaches us. Nothing happens. So we walk up, turn ourselves in, I guess, or to find out what's going on. We walk up over this hillside right next to our campsite and waiting to see the cop car on the other side, and there's nothing. There's nothing there. There's not even tire tracks to anything having driven there. There's absolutely nothing. And, I mean, what sounds like a fascinating story became kind of a constant occurrence, not just the police part, but this trickster nature of what's
that
going on.
You read my mind. That I was just about to ask you, because another thing that kind of an epiphany that I've come to over the years talking to different people, that some of this paranormal stuff and Fortean stuff has a trickster nature, like something's trying to pretend it's something it's not, to ostensibly mess with us.
That happens. Yes, it pretends to be something it's not, and it really doesn't do a good job of it, is what I've noticed on several occasions. I'm trying to think of examples that are kind of eluding me at the moment.
Well, let me ask you this while you're thinking of that. When you're out there, and not just when something happens, but does the place have a feel about it? Do you feel like you're on kind of haunted land?
There's an emotional reaction. I think that everyone I've taken, even skeptics I've taken out there, have felt and have a presence that they've experienced. For me personally, being anywhere near the property, during at least the daylight, there's almost a euphoric high, believe it or not. There's not a fear. You get the sense that something's not quite right. You know, you're now in Oz. You're no longer in Kansas anymore.
Right.
There's definitely that sense. And you can't tell if that's more the placebo effect of knowing where you're at. But something feels off. But there's also, again, this euphoric sense, which is possibly what creates this obsessive nature in me to constantly keep going out there. But there's a high about it, a sense of peace and excitement. And it's not just the same excitement somebody, I guess, if you're into ghost hunting and you go to a graveyard and you're all excited about one, it's very different. It's a connectiveness that you feel. At the same time, the depths of fear, once the sun goes down, that feeling kind of does a 180. And it's really not despair, depression, but just absolute terror at night, that you're not alone. This desert, and it's not just animals that are out there watching you. A sense of being watched, I guess, is how I would put it.
Do you feel as though we'll ever figure out what's going on here, or do you think this is one of those imponderable mysteries?
Another great question that I get asked a lot, that I get some friction when I respond to. I believe in my lifetime I'm going to find some sort of answer to this, and I'm committed to finding that answer. And the reason I believe that is because this is a reproducible event. If it wasn't, I would always be searching for answers that I'd never be able to find. I mean, there's always more information coming from this location. Each time I go out there, I have another, well, not every single time, but many of the times I've gone out there, have a new event, and from that event, new data can be gleaned. And all these pieces to the puzzle, I just keep putting these pieces together. And it's not just my own experience, it's everyone else throughout the basin who's also had experience related to the ranch. Things start pointing to common entity types, common times when these occurrences occur. Weather patterns, moon patterns, everything eventually becomes a pattern. You just need more data. And I fervently, and especially with the government's involvement and as more sources begin leaking, I guess, there's more information that can be gleaned. And that's why I built the website, is just this database collecting more and more what seems like questions eventually become answers, I guess.
Since we are talking about UFO encounters, that's a show we're on, tell us about some of the UFO activity in the Skinwalker Ranch area.
Other people, I have never, ever seen a UFO out there, ever on the ranch. That's not true of other people. Other people have reported seeing, there's two types of UFOs that are reported. One is a triangular-shaped UFO, kind of a miniature stealth fighter is how they describe it. All black, just a much smaller version of what would be the stealth fighter. Or at least just triangular shaped. I don't know if it's exactly a stealth fighter. The other style is a Chupa style, which is kind of a big refrigerator or RV looking UFO, just a big square, metallic square seen out there. With actual, almost like reverse lights on the back of it,
huh. Which
is kind of unusual.
That is
unusual. I thought I'd read a book somewhere else about like these tall whites. Some book on the tall whites, that they have a vehicle like that. And then there's been a lot of reports in Brazil and South America of these Chupa-style UFOs. I myself have only seen balls of light. They're kind of a football-shaped. I don't know about the shape and size of the size of a small compact car. Glowing orange, yeah.
You've never seen anything. Now, is there are there reports of aliens?
Yes, the encounter I told you earlier about the typical gray looking aliens. I mean, that occurred 40 miles directly to the south on I-70 from Skinwalker Ranch. On Skinwalker Ranch itself, I have never seen an alien. I want to clarify that. I did have a close encounter. With one of these balls of light landed in front of me and another investigator, and became this black swirling mist that transformed and took the shape of a wolf, very large wolf, big bushy tail, and it stood no more than 2-3 feet from me, just staring directly at us. There wasn't a wolf before, you know. The ball of light turned into it. So is that an alien? I guess not in the traditional sense, but a lot of these things don't fit into nice, neat categories and boxes. Some of the other stories, though, you asked one of the stories, is I got a lot of reports of three different types. There's a lizard man. These things are big, 7 to 8 feet tall, all black with these yellow glowing eyes and reptilian kind of eyes to them. There is a hairy, black, Bigfoot-like kind of creature. And they also report these thin, all-white, long-necked, alien kind of. I don't have much more of a description other than that. They're tall, thin, and completely white skin creatures. And those are there's so many damn types out there. You can't just limit it to three. I mean, we're talking about Skinwalker Ranch here. There's the little people as well, which are kind of described as I guess, I don't know if it's a politically correct term, but kind of midget kind of people, or pygmy kind of people is how they're described. They have their own language. I guess they even play music, oddly. And the natives have reported seeing these almost like a separate tribe, I guess, have inhabited the lands out there for quite some time. But they're not traditional humans, whatever these small people are. They call them the little people.
So you're continuing your investigation. I mean, I know you have the two books out, but it sounds like that's just the beginning for you. You're going to continue to do it. What's the next phase in your research?
Well, I just started a new career where I'm going to be delivering, I'm self-employed. I'm going to be delivering RVs across the country, which kind of gives me the freedom now to, at a moment's notice, I can pick a state or a hotspot and head right out to that location and drop something off at a dealership there and spend the rest of the time in my truck camped out at one of these locations. So it's, I'm pretty excited to be able to spend a lot more time now researching the ranch. And my latest hotspot is a location in Texas that I outlined in my new book.
Excellent. Well,
yeah, there's a hot.
Go ahead.
Eastern Texas, there's an airfield where real similar events as what's described at Skinwalker is occurring. But the luxury is there isn't armed guards like there is at Skinwalker constantly patrolling, 24 hours a day, every day of the year.
That's an interesting aspect indeed. Ryan, where can people go to find the book and also to find all the information that you have? I know you mentioned your websites before, so please tell us about those, what they can expect there, and where they can find the books.
You can find the book on Amazon. My latest book is called Skinwalker Ranch, No Trespassing. It's been a bestseller now for the past 2 months on the bestseller list. It is $4.95, so it's pretty affordable. My other book is Skinwalker Ranch, Path of the Skinwalker, also on Amazon. We have them both in Kindle format and also in paperback. Let's see, my website, which is kind of an archive of all these various events, which contains photographs, maps to different locations that people can possibly have an experience, a categorization of all the different entities. And the forum is skinwalkerranch.org, skinwalkerranch.org.
Well, thank you very much. We certainly do appreciate it. We absolutely enjoyed the conversation, gave us some insight to a topic that we had not covered, and we're glad we got to it. And Ryan Skinner, thank you for joining us today on UFO Encounters.
Thank you so much for having me. Excellent questions, by the way.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us on UFO Encounters. We appreciate it, and I'm sure Ryan would agree. Keep your eyes to the skies. Bye-bye, everybody.